Imagine waking up from a dream so vivid that it feels more real than your waking life. Your heart pounds as you recall encountering a figure who seemed to know everything about you, even the secrets you hide from yourself. This experience would have fascinated Carl Jung, who spent his life charting the mysterious territory of the human psyche. Jung's psychological model isn't just academic theory, it's a practical map for navigating the labyrinth of our inner lives. His ideas have seeped into our culture, influencing everything from Hollywood films to corporate personality tests, from BTS albums to therapy sessions. What makes Jung's work so enduring is its profound recognition that beneath our conscious thoughts lies a vast, unexplored wilderness teeming with energy, symbols, and ancient patterns that shape our lives in ways we rarely comprehend. At the center of Jung's map stands the ego, not a villain of selfishness, but the organizing principle making coherent experience possible. Think of your ego as consciousness's CEO, prioritizing information and directing attention. Like a mirror, it reflects psychic contents into awareness. The stronger your ego, the more information you can integrate without overwhelm. This sense of I exists before language. A baby reaching for a toy demonstrates the ego already creating intention and focus before the child can say, "Mine." The ego develops through stages, from infant pre-verbal intentionality to profound self-awareness in adolescence. Jung described his pivotal moment at 13 when he suddenly realized, "Now I am myself." The ego occupies consciousness's center, with other psychic contents arranged around it based on emotional connection. Thoughts linked to your sense of self remain in awareness, while those with weaker connections drift toward the periphery. Despite its importance, the ego has limitations. Your attention can be hijacked by sudden noises or emotions. While the ego grants us freedom beyond mere instinct, it remains vulnerable to both internal and external influences. Have you ever had an emotional reaction so disproportionate you later wondered, where did that come from? Jung would say you were caught in a complex, an emotionally charged cluster of thoughts and memories operating like a separate personality within your psyche. Jung verified complexes through his word association experiment. When subjects responded to stimulus words, certain ones produced delayed responses or physiological reactions, revealing emotional disturbance. Each complex contains both the psychic trace of an originating experience and an archetypal element giving it universal resonance. These complexes function as sub-personalities that temporarily take over consciousness. Everyone experiences mild dissociation, moments when you're not yourself. When in complex, your ego becomes disturbed, and you may behave contrary to your normal personality, from slight slips to full psychotic states. Jung called the animating force libido, psychic energy flowing through the mind. Unlike Freud's sexual definition, Jung saw libido as a broader life force moving in progression, outward adaptation, and regression, inward flow. When facing failure, energy regresses, activating complexes. Paradoxically, this regression can spark new development by forcing confrontation with unconscious material. Beyond personal complexes lies Jung's revolutionary discovery, the collective unconscious. This deeper layer contains archetypes, universal patterns of imagination common across humanity regardless of culture or time. These psychic universals explain why similar symbols appear in unrelated civilizations. The Great Mother archetype appears consistently across cultures, from Egyptian Isis to Greek Demeter to Chinese Guanyin, each embodying nurturing and fertility despite no historical connection. Similarly, the hero's journey emerges spontaneously in dreams and myths worldwide. Jung maps the psyche as a spectrum, with archetypes at one end and instincts at the other. These poles intermingle, with archetypal images colored by instinct, while instincts take form through archetypal patterns. The psyche exists between matter and spirit, with consciousness moving between biological drives and spiritual meanings. This interaction manifests in religious rituals, art, and entertainment, where ancient patterns continue to resonate with audiences. Jung observed that we all develop a persona, a psychological mask for social interactions. This isn't mere fakery, but a necessary interface between our inner reality and the outer world, formed through social expectations and personal ambitions. The more prestigious our role, the stronger our identification with it. Notice how some people become their job titles, unable to separate personal identity from professional function? Complementary to the persona is the shadow, containing suppressed psychological traits that would normally belong to the ego. Every ego casts a shadow, operating like a covert espionage system without conscious knowledge. The shadow forms during ego development. What consciousness rejects becomes shadow, while what it accepts becomes ego and persona. If your persona is rational, your shadow may be emotional. If kind, your shadow may hold aggression. Integration requires embracing parts that don't fit your idealized self-image. Jung believed that when persona and shadow conflict, this tension allows the unconscious to offer creative solutions that transform the ego's attitude and relationships. Jung discovered the anima after breaking with Freud. While questioning if his dream interpretation was science or art, a female voice declared, "It is art." Through dialogue, this voice evolved into a presence that felt tangibly real. Unlike the shadow, rejected aspects of ego, the anima animus is fundamentally other, defined by masculine-feminine polarity. The anima represents a man's hidden feminine side, while the animus is a woman's hidden masculine side. This inner contrasexual figure shapes our perception of the opposite sex. While shadow projections create fear, anima animus projections generate desire for union and charismatic attraction. That inexplicable attraction to someone who later proves wrong for you, that's anima animus projection. Many avoid these powerful experiences, sensing their potential to disrupt conventional life. Yet enduring these emotional fires can transform consciousness, making psychic reality as convincing as material reality. Human attraction isn't merely biological, it's guided by archetypal images we project onto potential partners. At the center of Jung's map stands the self, the organizing principle of the entire psyche. Unlike everyday usage, where self equals ego, Jung's self represents a transcendent center uniting ego and other in a common field. The self manifests through symbolic forms, mandalas, circles, wise elders, divine children, gemstones, and sacred buildings. These symbols appear spontaneously in dreams, art, and religious iconography across cultures, representing wholeness. Notice how satisfying symmetrical designs can be, or how drawn we are to stories of wise mentors guiding heroes. The self contains paradoxical qualities, simultaneously male and female, old and young, powerful and helpless. This union of opposites reflects its role transcending ordinary logical categories. When psychological fragmentation threatens, the self generates compensatory symbols of unity as healing responses. The realization of the self involves individuation, becoming who we truly are. This journey requires engaging with unconscious material, reflecting on dreams, and integrating split-off aspects of personality. The goal isn't perfection, but increased consciousness and authenticity. Jung reminds us that wholeness is our birthright.